Good morning, City Church. How's everybody doing today? Great. It's great to see you all. We're going to be receiving communion together at the end of the service. As a church family, just to let you know about that ahead of time. But we are kicking off a brand new series today called True Image. And this series is all about identity. And kind of a big hot topic in the world, using the phrase and what it might mean and all of the different things. So we're just going to be spending the next few weeks just diving into the scripture to see what the Word of God tells us about our identity and what would mean for us as individuals and for families. You know, as I have said many times, I identify as a Toronto team sports fan. Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays. And as far as I'm concerned, that anybody else who's born in Ontario and struggles with figuring out who to cheer for, like I said, there may be some excuse for Ottawa Senators fans. I don't know, maybe. But GTA people cheering for other teams, I just don't get it. We can identify with a lot of different things. We can identify with political parties. We can identify with brands. I know in the first few years of me youth pastoring, one of the kids in our youth group wanted to get a Nike swoosh tattoo. And this was like before Jordans were huge, you know, and Nike was just like any other company. They might go out of business at some point. If you had a Nike swoosh and they went out of business, it'd be a hard thing to explain to your kids later on. So we can identify with a lot of different things. We can identify with family and how important that is. And just to go through the moment of the culture that we're living in, it's just a really big subject. And I think that the scripture actually has a lot for us to dive into, to understand. Now, the word identity simply means who you are, that the memories and experiences and relationships and your values all shape your identity. The characteristics that determine who a person is, this is your identity. And when we live from that place of identity, it will dictate how we go through life. Now, today, your identity is something that to get attention for. Maybe you're going to put it on social and something like that. And so we're going to get identity. And this would be kind of just a new way of thinking. But really, we want to know and we want to ask this question in this series is, will we find our identity in Christ? And this is kind of the big biblical question as we go through and discuss and think about identity. Or will we just adopt and take on the philosophies of the world, the contemporary philosophy of the world around us, how we would identify, just a very specific way of thinking. And it's kind of new, relatively speaking, but thank God for the Word of God. The Word of God has answers for us regardless of what decade we live in. And if you can go back through history and just look at the various decades, the things that are being discussed now aren't things that were being discussed 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, that there was a different issue. But thank God that the Word of God always has answers for us. If we dig into it and see what God would say to us, because this is one of the things that truly, specifically, is answered for us in the scripture so that we don't fall into the ways of thinking as it relates to the world, as it relates to identity. So let's read here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Gives us some thoughts around this. Therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, followers of Jesus, that we would walk in Christ. Yes, I follow Jesus. What does it mean? Verse 7, rooted, built up, established in the faith, just as we were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now listen, this is true for all time and in every culture, and as culture continues to evolve and change as it is doing right now, this still will be true. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. Now, what is philosophy? Philosophy is just a way of thinking, adopting a way of thinking. There's a way of thinking in the world. There's something that is being handed to us. There's something on offer for us. There's something being shown to us on the news and movies and TV shows and social media and all of these things. There's a philosophy. There's a way of thinking. It's undeniable. It's just out there. We see it all of the time. But the scripture is telling us, be careful that you don't get taken captive by philosophy, a way of thinking, because it's easy to do. You can get captured, your mind can get captured. And empty deceit, according to human tradition. These things, again, You can go back and see through the history of the world that there is going to be human traditions cropping up and showing up, and they're going to manifest themselves in different ways. But here, this portion of scripture is talking about, oh, we're in Christ. We're going to walk in Christ, and we need to be careful that we don't get taken by these philosophies. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Oh, so it brings us back down to Jesus. And what this means is it brings us to God. As it relates to philosophies, ways of thinking that we should adopt or reject, what is going to be the litmus test for us as followers of Jesus? How are we going to know that, oh, this way of thinking, oh, this is a godly way of thinking, and this is a way of thinking that I'm actually going to reject, that I'm not going to partake of, because it's not found in Christ? Now, the current cultural philosophies that we will hear and see, and these are all things that aren't new, and I'm just bringing up things that, again, that you already know and you're hearing about, just identifying what it is. Some of these cultural philosophies will be identified with these phrases: be your true self, express yourself, be your authentic self. Whatever you feel is who you are, and then the question, what's your truth? Here's my truth, what's your truth? And all of these things will relate to who we become. What is our identity? What are the characteristics that make up who I am? And again, these philosophies, ways of thinking, undeniable, are just on offer to us. They're offered to us as a way to go through life. Here's how you should go through life: being able to say these phrases and have them be meaningful to you, important to you. And if somebody doesn't adopt these phrases, that there's something wrong with them, and there's something not right with the way that they would think. Now, I would say that there's two broad categories of identity in the world today. Now, there's one that's more traditional, and it's not so much in the West, not so much where we live, but around the world we will see this. And then in the history of where we live, this would be true. Here's an amazing stat. In the year 1800, 90% of the world's population were farmers. Somebody's phone, beeper, if somebody still has a beeper. Somebody have a pager? It's going off. The 90s are calling. So there's two broad categories of identity that are given to us. There you go. You're going to get it. You're going to figure it out. That there would be our traditional identity, and what this would mean would be from the outside in, that we would get our identity from our family. And again, in 1800, we were all farmers, generally speaking. This would be our identity. Now, it's not just the thing that you do, but it would come from the outside in. It would come from community. It would come from society. That we would consult the identity, and again, you will see this in different places around the world, that we would get who we are from all of these exterior sources, and then these exterior sources would inform the choices that I'm making. Now, the opposite of that would be a modern or a contemporary or something that we would face here that we are living in, and it really has to do with the inside out, not the outside in, but something from the inside of me will help me to identify who I am, that I would decide who I want to be based on who I feel I am. This is what I know is true because I feel this on the inside of me, and then only I can decide about me. I don't care what my family says. I don't care if my family says I have to be a farmer. I am just going to be me. I'm just going to do. Now, again, are you with me? I'm just identifying stuff that's out there in the world today. These are things that are going on, thing that we're going to, and then we're going to have a biblical response to it. Only I can validate myself based on what I'm feeling. Fulfill your deepest desires. Find truth inside of yourself. Now again, in two very broad strokes, this would be ways to identify. Outside in, someone else, a person, a family member, society is going to dictate who I am, and then I'm going to make a choice on my identity. Or it's just going to be whatever I feel on the inside, whatever I'm seeing on the inside of me. And this would be, the second one would be what we would be facing here in North America and Canada. And then generally, too, these ideas aren't questioned. This is on offer for us. This is how we should think. And you can't question it, or you shouldn't question it, Because the good people don't question it. They just go along with the thing. It's like, oh, you can't say these things. You can't talk. You can't ask those questions. The compassionate people, and it's subtly imposed upon us as the correct way to think. But what I'm going to do and what I'm intending to do in this series is that I'm going to offer not just the traditional way of discovering identity or this modern contemporary way of discovering identity. I actually want to have a third option for us, a biblical response. What is God telling us from his word that we should, where we should get our identity from? Because this would be a really important topic, don't you think? Knowing who I am. So because who I am responds to all of life. So this way of thinking, again, it's subtly imposed upon us in all of these different ways. But again, what I would say about it is while it's happening here in the West, it is also failing simultaneously. This way of thinking that we would just define ourselves, that the stats would all tell us that loneliness as high as it's ever been, depression is high, that there's a mental health crisis happening in the world that we're living in. The negative effects of social media, talking about all of these things, especially teenagers and young people, confusion is at an all-time high in these areas because our identity is in question. Lack of purpose, lack of meaning, lack of peace. So the question that the big question, the philosophical question, the existential question is, who am I? Who am I supposed to be? Is it supposed to be this traditional way of thinking? Is it supposed to be this contemporary way of thinking? Where am I supposed to get my identity from? And we should struggle through these ideas. Again, it's really important, especially if you're young in the room, to not just take the philosophies of the world that are on offer to you. Think about it a little bit to find out where they came from. When somebody says 15 years ago, nobody thought like this, we should find out why. It should be an important thing for us to consider, not just, oh, I guess this is how everybody has to think. And again, what I would love for us to do in this series is I want to discover, what is a biblically formed identity? What is a gospel formed identity? How does God want us to form the identity in our lives? A silly illustration of this time, you remember Mufasa to Simba? Remember who you are. It's a really important question. Am I supposed to just follow the philosophies of the world? And again, listen, there's a culture war being fought about these things right now. If YouTube, anywhere you social media, these are things being discussed in the culture. These are at odds with each other. But again, I'm not just diving into the culture war. I want us to go to the scripture. I want us to find a third option. We can have a discussion about the culture war if you want. That'll be fun. But let's do this third option. Let's go to the word of God and find out what the word of God says. Can I get an amen? About our identity, because God didn't leave us alone in this time without answers from the word of God about who am I? Who am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to be acting in this world? It's a complex issue, but let's dive into it and figure it out from the word of God. Because traditional way of getting our identity is lacking. A contemporary way of getting our identity is lacking. But in Christ is everything that I need. In Christ is everything we need as it relates to our identity. We should have a desire to have a true image, a true understanding of who God wants us to be. Image, the word image just means likeness, resemblance. In the New Testament, it means likeness of heavenly things. A holy and blessed state of mind. You remember at the beginning I said, a philosophy is a way of thinking. So God wants us to have a way of thinking about our identity. He didn't leave us for just to figure it out on our own and just dive into the culture war and I got to pick a side. No, he actually has something for us as it relates to who we are and who he's created us to be. Amen. So who are we intentionally resembling? We all need a sense of self. What are we choosing? Be given the one by culture, or should we choose? And the answer is yes, we should choose the one that God gives us in Christ. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. In Christ, our identity is received, not achieved, and not chosen. In Christ, our identity is received. It's not achieved, and it's not chosen. And so we need to be on guard, again, against the philosophies of the world that would try to invade and capture our thinking and make us to feel bad if we don't think a certain way. Because this third option, this biblical option, is the right option. It is the option that will keep us from all of these problems that I just listed in the world, because confusion, the enemy just wants to confuse us. This is what the enemy does. His tactics are this: confusing our thinking and then confusing who we are, and then I don't know who I am. But God has an answer for us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says this: "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Keep your heart, guard your heart from the philosophies of the world. Because the philosophy of the world will just taint how we live our lives. Confused, depressed, struggled, no peace, because I don't know who I am. Keep your heart, guard your heart. Your heart is the seat of authority in your life. So what type of thinking will we allow to rule our life? Now, as we go through this series, you'll see these phrases over and over again, and I want these phrases to capture our heart. We're going to see these phrases: in him, in Christ, through him. And all of these things that we see in all of these verses that we're going to look at are going to help us form a biblical identity, an identity in God, in him, in Christ, through him. Because this is where God wants us to find ourselves, not just stuck in the world, not just alone to figure it out, not just left to the culture of the time, but he wants us to see ourselves in him, in Christ, living through Christ. Here at Mars Hill, Paul is philosophizing with the people of the time, and this will help us to see here Acts chapter 17, verse 22. It says, "So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious.'" So they would sit around and talk and discuss the elements of the time and politics and philosophy and religion and all of these different things. And Paul is just showing up. And this is true today. Everybody today is still very religious. Even the people that claim to not be religious, they are also religious. They have something at the highest place in their lives, something they are identifying with. This is still true today, what Paul is saying. Verse 23, "So I passed along and observed the objects of your worship," which we can still do today. "I found also an altar with this inscription: 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." So Paul's like, "I'm gonna help you. Let me clear this up for you. Because you're like worshiping the unknown God. I want to help you to understand this. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of the dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is not actually far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." What's the first two words? In him, in God. We are made by him. We're thinking and we're philosophizing and we're looking at politics and we're looking at this and all of these things. And Paul's like, "Let me bring you back to the creator, the thought about the creator, that in God, the creator, in him, we live and move and have our being, that everything that we have comes from God. The fact that you get to live and think and breathe, this comes from the creator God. And as even some of your own poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. So Paul is taking the poets of the time and helping them to understand an eternal truth. We are the offspring of God. We are made by God. We are not our own. Which does away with both ways of thinking that exist in the world today, that somebody else would define your identity, family, society, the community, or just yourself and your feelings. God made you. Here's point one of the series. God made you. He has something to say about your identity. We should want to know what it is. Verse 29, being then God's offspring, that's all of us, made by God, everybody in this room, everybody in the city, everybody in the nation, everybody in the world has life from God. Then being God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. That we just can't think up something and define it, and that's what God is, that God is saying something about us. The times of ignorant God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. What does repent mean? It means to turn around and go the other way. Paul, discussing the philosophies of men and politics, and in the midst of that group that is very religious, which is the group that we live in today, what is God calling us to do? To repent and go a different way. To not just accept the philosophies on offer in the world, and not just accept the traditional philosophies of identity, that we would go the way of the Creator, that I would flip around, like I'm gonna find out the way of God. And this is what Paul is telling them to wrestle with, this idea. And I implore the 20-somethings in the room to wrestle with these ideas. To wrestle with these ideas of identity that, again, is just very hard to discuss. And if I were to say certain things, it would make the 20-somethings in the room very nervous today. Why? Because we're nervous about these phrases. But again, on offer to us from the Word of God is a whole other way of thinking about who we are and who God has made us to be. First point, first thought is that we are created by God. Genesis 1:27 says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female, he created him. So what are these words in here? We see created like a bunch of times. And in the image of God. I don't know if you're an inventor in the room. Maybe you've got some sort of product that you're inventing. And every manufacturer creates some sort of product, and on that product, they stamp their name. What the intention is of that product manufacturer is to say, here is the intended purpose for this product that I have created. Here's what it's for. Amen. Here's what it's for. What are we created? After the image of God. God has something to say about who we are or who we're deciding to be. That it's insufficient for somebody just external, some family member, some person, some societal member, some politician to say, here's who we are. And it's insufficient for me to say, just based on what I'm feeling on the inside today, this is who I am. It's insufficient. It's not enough. Has anyone never noticed your feelings change? And they're up and down. It's a terrible philosophy to tell someone, oh, that's how you feel on the inside. That's who you are. God stamped his name on us through creation. He has something to say about us. Our intended purpose, our identity. We are created after his image. We didn't create ourselves. This is a humble position to take. Are you with me today? That I would humble myself. Say, God, what is your intended purpose for my identity? He made us. He has a purpose for us. He stamped his name on us. And we know the story and the story of the scripture that there was sin, that Adam and Eve sinned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God didn't leave us there, that we are created by God, and now we are recreated in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says this, and he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him. So I'm not living for myself. I'm not identifying myself. I'm not allowing some other person to identify me, that I'm living for God. This is a saving way to think. Who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, here is our identity. Created by God. Truly stamped for his purposes, made in his image. Now we are recreated in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So I'm not my old self. I'm not just how I feel on the inside. I'm not just what somebody said about me, that I am found in Christ. This is who I am. This is me. So we don't let old ways of thinking dominate us. We don't let our old self dominate us. We anchor, listen, we anchor our identity in Christ. Let's pray today. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you didn't leave us alone, that you have answers for us, for the world that we live in. God, we look to you today to continue to help us to understand who we are and who you've made us to be. And God, we guard our heart from the philosophies of this world. And we want to know what you say about us. This is our desire. This is what we want, Lord, because we are found in Christ. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we receive communion together today, I just want to make mention, if you are here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. We just read the verse there that Jesus has made a way for us to have a relationship with God. And how is it that we have this relationship with God? It's not because we're perfect moral agents, because none of us are. That God has made a way for us in Christ, that he came, Jesus, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, God offers us the gift of a relationship with himself. It's called righteousness, right standing with God. And everybody needs a starting place with God. So I'm going to pray our prayer here in a second. I invite you to pray along with me if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you're here today and you said yes to Jesus one time in the past and you feel distant from him today. You know, God is not mad at you this morning. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time or rededicating their life to Christ. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways, and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's congratulate those that did that today. If that is you today, George will have some instructions for you at the end of service. But let's receive communion together today. It's generally in the seat in front of you. If you're on the first row, it's by the leg of your chair. Go ahead and pull that out. If you are a follower of Jesus, we invite you to receive communion with us today, but you don't have to feel pressured to do so. If you open up that cellophane top piece and grab the wafer out, let me just read a scripture to you here from Luke 22 at the Last Supper. It says, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So Jesus, as he's taking the Passover and he's turning it into communion, the Last Supper, what is he saying to us? He's saying, oh, remember Jesus, that he is gonna take stripes on his back. That the scripture tells us in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. And then we know that Jesus, before he went to the cross, was whipped and his skin broke open. And what that means is his broken body means healing for our bodies. And this is what Jesus was famous for as we remember him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was a healer. He is a healer. So let's just pray today. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he took stripes on his back so we could receive healing. So today we open up ourselves, Lord, to your healing power. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we thank you, Lord, that your power is greater than any sickness and disease and pain that we can face. We thank you, Lord, that you heal us because you love us. God, I pray for anyone in here today who's suffering from a broken heart. Lord, your word says that you bind up the brokenhearted. So we thank you, Lord, for healing for broken hearts here today, that you are healing our emotions. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's eat together. You can open up the bottom portion. And he says, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood.'" So as we remember Jesus today, remember the scripture that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So this reminds us that Jesus shed his blood for all of our sins. And it reminds us that we never run away from God when we sin. We always run to him. Scripture says his mercies are new every morning. That we have this righteousness, this right standing with God because of the shed blood of Jesus. Let's pray today. God, we thank you for forgiveness of sins today. That we are righteous and in your presence because of the shed blood of Jesus. God, we thank you that you have washed away all of our sins. We never run away from you, that we always run to you and confess. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's drink together.
Amen, amen. You can put those cups just by your chairs there. Can we thank Pastor Brent for that word this morning? So, so good. And yeah, come on, let's give him a round. We honor the bringing of the word in this house. Amen. So good. And hey, if as Pastor Brent mentioned, if you made that decision today to follow Jesus for the first time, or maybe you're rededicating your life this morning, we just strongly want to encourage you, fill out that connect card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. Mark off, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Bring that connect card over to the info desk. We have a team of people just ready to greet you with a big smile and give you some free resource for your new journey of faith. So we just want to get you launched on that, so make sure you do that. And just a couple announcements this morning. Don't forget that we got some church merch. Who loves church merch? In the lobby, look at your neighbor and tell them, go get your church merch. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, get your church merch. So good. Yeah, it's almost running out. So I just want to encourage you, if you like those sweaters, make sure you grab one this morning. And just to highlight as well, we have water baptisms coming up. And if you've never been water baptized before, maybe now's the time. Come talk to our team at the info desk. We would love to give you more info. As well, we have city groups launching next week. Who's excited for city groups? Come on, I know some of y'all are. So good. Whether you like to knit and crochet, or maybe you like more social atmosphere, maybe you're a young professional, maybe you like early morning prayer. We got so many different groups. Just want to encourage you, go on our website, get plugged into the life of our church through city groups. And we would love to just have you and build community. Who loves community? Come on. Isn't community the best? Amazing. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Would you look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, it is good that you came to church today. Yeah, so good, so good. And right now, I'm just going to invite the prayer team to come on down to the front. If you were hoping for somebody to pray with you or for you this morning, you can just make your way down to the stage here at the end of service. Don't be shy. We are family in this place. We would love to just pray with you. But that's it for us today, church. We love you. Be blessed. Have a great Sunday and happy Family Day weekend. See you next week.